141. It came upon a midnight clear. It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Let's sing the second and then the last. On the second. Still through the cloven skies they come, with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er its babble sounds the blessed angels sing. On the last. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophet bards foretold, when with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing.
Amen. 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 Well, it's good to see you this evening. Trust the Lord gave you a pleasant afternoon. You, for the most part, it looks like you got the sleep out of your eyes, so that's good. And we look forward to the Lord meeting with us this evening. I'm going to ask you to do something for me. I had a phone call a little bit ago, and we had shared, we're trying to get the word around, that the Samoan government customs are holding the equipment for the radio station in Samoa. And they are not budging on this thing. And I had a phone call just before the service from one of the team, one of the Independent Baptist media team, Mrs. Damron, Eric Damron's wife. And they are calling hither and there trying to raise the money to get that equipment out of customs. And they expect it to be about $5,000. It's a shameful. I'm very, very surprised that they're hitting them this way. Samoan government is usually pretty good to work with. But they have raised $2,500 so far, and they're still working at that. And what I'd like to ask the church to do this evening, that we would, again, by faith, that we would promise them $1,000 towards that. Excuse me. And to help out with that, Mrs. Damron is still burning up the phone line trying to get that $5,000 supplied. But again, I know we've taken up a couple special offerings, and I'm proud of what y'all have done to help with the project. I'm thinking, I can't remember total, but I'm thinking around $4,000 or $5,000 has come in towards that project to buy the equipment. And the thing is, the men are there. The team is there. Gene Sharp and Eric Damron are there. And they need to they can't be sitting on their hands. They need to get that station installed. And so, if I could, again, I know you're standing, but that's okay. We'll do this. If I could have a motion on that, Brother Wayne Hudson makes that motion. If I could have a second, Kenneth Lambert makes a second. Is somebody writing that down for me? Okay, thank you, Beth. Does there anybody have a question about all that? I tried to explain it best I could. Well, I wish it wasn't so, but they've had a meeting with them and they've tried to get that amount down, but they are just not budging. I guess that they're dug in on it. Any questions at all? Brother Bruce understands this is sometimes that's just the way it is in third world countries, and sometimes not third world countries, but just the way it is. They can just kind of go on whatever whim they take. Well then, all in favor of approving that money, and okay, oppose the same sign, and thank you so much. Let's take a couple minutes and shake hands. I'm actually going to step out in the foyer and call Mrs. Dameron so she knows that we can. We'll try to get that transferred. Where's Miss Janice at? Maybe we can get that transferred some. I'll have to get the information on what they need for that. Okay, and we'll work on that for the transfer. Thank you so much. Let's take a couple minutes and welcome each other in the Lord.
All right, as you make your way back to your seats, if you would turn to page 143. I heard the bells. Let's sing the first, second, and last.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
On the last,
till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
And just turn a page over, 146. Let's sing all four, shall we? Give Pastor a little bit more time.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's glory, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the field abiding, watching o'er the flocks by night. God with man is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Sages, leave your contemplations, brighter visions beam afar. Seek the great desire of nations, ye have seen his natal star. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
You may be seated.
All right, gentlemen, if you'll take your places, we'll get ready to receive this evening's offering. We'll go over a few announcements for the new members who's not quite in the directory yet. We will have information next week on the back foyer, and if you just need to have it before then, please call the office, and Miss Teresa, Miss Janice, one of them, be very glad to get it for you. And by the way, check your mailboxes. It's early in the season, and we've already got four mailboxes, so double check your mailboxes. So we're going to try to remind you that every time I see you, check your mailbox, check your mailbox. They're good for getting one side of the auditorium to the other, but let's take them home also. So anyway, check your mailboxes. Ladies got remove my paperclip here. The ladies brunch tomorrow at 10 o'clock, and Christmas party on Friday at 7. There will be a gift exchange, a $15 limit is that on that. Please see Miss Marcia. The men's has a Christmas party on the 15th. 6:30 at Spring Creek. There we go. Exercise the lips. Spring Creek Barbecue. And there will be a gift exchange, a $15 limit on that. Please see Brother Turner for that one. The 11th, we are having our church banquet. Biscuit. I'm about ready to give up on this one. Briskets will be provided. And asking everybody to bring two sides and a dessert. And a friend. So, preacher, I didn't get my nap this afternoon, so my lips are tired. That's what it is. Sunday school parties, see your teachers for your prospective classes on that. And the TTU classes will be starting their spring schedule. We have a list of classes that's going to be available on the back. Now, let's take one more little thing of business right quick. You see these young men up front? They're prospective y'all one of these days. They're in training. If you look around, we got guys doing something everywhere. We got guys in the background in the video. And when Brother Ronnie's gone, got somebody over there. They're really good in training. Amen. We even have a young man over here who's been practicing up good enough to be up front on the keyboard, I guess you call that. And I heard him this morning. He came a long way since last time I heard him. Do these gentlemen a favor. When they walk by to pass the plate, grab that plate from them. And give them an exercise to pass it down in front, okay? And guys, pass the plates. Don't just hold it there and smile. Even though somebody said you are pretty. I don't understand who, but nice-looking guys maybe are not pretty. So there you go. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us today, Lord. Thank you for a wonderful day today, Lord. Lord, I ask right now to be the offering, about to receive, be the gift and the giver. Lord, just momentarily when the preacher comes before us and declares your word, Lord, we're asking, Lord, that you give him the power on high and you give him the words you want him to say. Lord, please, Lord, just quieten our minds and open our hearts. Ask these things in your name. Amen.
Curtis had mentioned the TTU classes. Would encourage you in that. A couple on-campus classes this semester, and I have the privilege of teaching one of those, and it's going to be on the church epistles. I love the church epistles. We'll be beginning in 1 and 2 Corinthians there. We break out the book of Romans and teach it separately. And look forward to teaching that class. And Pastor Shannon Eaton will be teaching a class on campus here at the church, we mean by that, on the minor prophets. So I'd encourage you to pray about that. The Lord just might. Those classes are held on Saturday mornings. They'll be held from 8 to 11. And it's not every Saturday. It's every other Saturday. So that's kind of a... you don't have to commit every Saturday morning to that. And whether you're taking that for credit or you would prefer to audit those classes, I guarantee that it'll be a blessing to your spiritual life and a help as well. There'll be some other classes along the way. There's some online classes that are be open this coming semester. And boy, it's very distinguished. It says Dr. Bruce Martin. We'll be teaching a class, a modular class on biblical translations. So please, that information is in the back there, and avail yourself of that. Again, thank you for your help with the radio station there in Samoa. I talked to Mrs. Dameron while we were shaking hands, and she was very relieved. She feels like she's on a spot here. She's trying to help her husband and Brother Sharp there in Samoa to raise that money. And amongst, there's at least three churches so far that have committed $1,000 apiece. So hopefully they can get that remainder raised as well. To turn, if you would, this evening to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Chapter 5. I don't know what it is. You know, turn around just a second. Look at that back wall. I don't know what it is about that that projector. That's what the choir and I get to look at. Sometimes it looks just as nice as can be, and other times it looks as... pardon? Yeah. But that's okay. I can look at that, no problem. As long as it's looking better up here. And I don't know what's going on with that one wanting to... It's wanting to blink at us a little bit, but that might be in need of a bulb replacement. Well, as we look into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this evening, let's stand together, and we're going to read a few of those verses to begin, and we'll be looking at a very, very quickly. So have your seatbelt on. We're going to be looking at a good part of this chapter this evening. The believer's outlook in times like these. The believer's outlook in times like these. And we read in verse 1 of chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know, and again, Paul's saying, you already know these things, but but I'm going to remind you of it anyway. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, speaking of this lost world, peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But then we see a turn in the chapter. Verse 4 says, but ye. And Paul's talking to believers, talking about to Christians from here. He's talking to that church, the believers in the church at Thessalonica. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Father, we bow before you this evening, ask you to give us understanding, illumination as we look at this passage. Pray, Father, that we might have the discernment of the Holy Spirit. Certainly, Father, that we would be remind ourselves even, be aware of what's going on around us, that we would be vigilant for you and prepared, Father. We understand that the day of the Lord shall come, and we are not in darkness, that we might foresee, be able to be aware of what indeed is ahead. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you ever so much for your love to us through your Son, Jesus. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Of course, we'll be seated. Don't want to sound like a broken record at times, but you understand as we introduce this evening that we do live in uncertain times. I would say there's an uncertainty of our own safety. Even when we would open our front door, the questions that are ever present and before us in these days. There's uncertainty for many concerning their employment, having a job, whether they'll have a job tomorrow or not. There's uncertainty concerning where the leadership of our nation might go. Certainly one thing for sure, I think it's going to be different. They're going to have a difference in leadership. There's uncertainty in relationships. Oh my, it's sad that so many people are no longer people of their word, as we were talking about this morning. No question, we live in uncertain times. But, and I'm thankful for little words like that, but there are some things that we can be certain of, both positive and negative. We can be certain that all that God says is dependable. We can trust the Word of God. It is dependable. It is certain. We can assuredly, with confidence, believe the Word of God. And the more, now, I believe, I add this because I think it's so. The more we believe and cling to the Word of God and His truth, the more secure we'll be in days of uncertainty. The more secure you and I will be in days of uncertainty. The measure to which we trust God, the measure to which we believe that He is indeed good for His promises, the more peace we'll have in troubling times. And I'm thankful for His promises to us. We want to look at this passage this evening look at it again. We're going to look at it rather quickly, so read the chapter along as we go. And if need be, take down some notes for later. The times in which we live, these first 9 verses of the chapter, certainly would speak to us of the times in which we live. We'd read those verses. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly or completely. You understand, he's saying, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, and we'll look at that in a moment, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We don't walk in darkness. We have the light of God's Word. Therefore, because of this, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober or serious-minded, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, there is a wealth to study in this chapter. And we're gonna kind of hit the peak, so to speak, as we go along. Conditions. I think we're aware that conditions around us are indeed growing worse and worse. And that should not shock us. It should not surprise us. We understand the Word of God makes that clear, that in the latter days, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Troubling times will be even more troubling. Now, you say, preacher, thanks a lot for those encouraging words. But we who walk in the light understand that. We that have the light of God's Word realize that indeed. And that's okay. That's okay because it increases our awareness. We should be those who watch. We should be those who are diligently aware. So it increases our awareness, and it also should heighten our anticipation of the Lord's return. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Are we not ready for the Lord Jesus? Hey, I love being here with you. I love teaching and preaching. I certainly love being, I love being alive. I love living here on this earth planet, but I'm also ready to go to be with Him. I'm ready. When the trump sounds, I'm not going to be holding on. I'm going to be ready to go. We understand that. Paul's telling us some things about that day, it says in verse 4. Speaks of that day. Well, what day is that? Let's talk about the day of the Lord. That day when the trump will sound and when the Lord Jesus Christ will return and call us out of here. In that time clock of the what we call the last days, the day of the Lord will once again... be set in motion. Well, what do we know about that day? And again, we're not going to deal with it in detail. That's a whole study in and of itself. What do we know concerning that day from our passage? Well, we know that there's some things that are unexpected in a sense. We read and look around us and we see the very fulfillment of the Scriptures before our eyes. And the nature of that day is described in verse 3. It says, for when they, who's the they? The lost world, beloved. The lost world. For when they shall say peace and safety. And in fact, this may well appear, directly apply to the false preachers of our day. There's plenty of false preachers around saying everything's fine. Just keep smiling. And your world's going to be great. And that's a lie. It's a lie. We know that our life is certain and tremendous, and our eternity is secure in Christ. But this world has a day of judgment ahead, as we'll see here. Peace and safety. Then, sudden destruction or the destroying cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. And we see the nature of this day. Indeed, that day will come as a thief in the night. And I wish we could just settle down and dig this through word by word, but we just can't do that for our purpose tonight. Just a simple question. When's the last time a thief sent you a message and tell you he's going to visit? The burglar doesn't do that, does he? He waits till he thinks he can break into your house and take what he wants and be on his way. He's not going to warn you. They come without warning. We also see here that that day That day, the day of the Lord, will come as that thief in the night. But it'll also come with strong delusion. In the midst of delusion. Notice it says, they shall say peace and safety. The message will be, oh, everything's fine. Don't worry. It amazes me. Those in leadership, even of governments, oh, everything's fine. Don't worry about it. They certainly don't want to listen to some crazy Bible thumping preacher, do they? No. Peace and safety. Remember what was the warning in the days of the prophets? Is the false prophets were saying everything's fine, peace, peace. But what was the warning of the prophets of God? They preached, they said peace, peace when there is no peace. And when folks needed to be repenting and turning towards God, the false preachers, oh, don't worry about that. Well, let me ask you. Did Israel and Judah come under the judgment and wrath of God, the punishment of God? They certainly did. And it should be a testimony to you and I of our day that just as God was true to His Word then, will He not be true to His Word now? Yes, He will. That day will come in the midst of delusion. One great need of the hour is for more prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Marsha and I were reading in Ezekiel this week, and I always think of something my dad said. You know, it's the Lord told Ezekiel He's going to give him a forehead like flint. And my daddy used to tell me when I was a boy, he says, "You're the hardest headed boy I ever met." And I thought, well, I guess God was preparing me to be a prophet, to be a preacher. And indeed, we need preachers in this day that aren't afraid to speak the truth. Just, hey, Paul told Timothy, be instant in season and out of season. We need to preach the truth when it's popular and when it's not so popular. Lord, help us. We need men of God that are willing to warn of impending judgment, even in this day. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that the warning here is a warning to the lost, but beloved, it is also a warning to us. Paul's saying, you're not in the darkness. God has given you a word. God has given us indeed that light that we need. And again, there will always be those around that, hey, there's no worries. Peace, peace. But might we be aware? And might we stand up for our God, even when it's not popular. But we also see that day of the Lord, is anticipated, but unknown. It's anticipated, but unknown. But not by the lost. The lost in this self-deceived world denies it, don't they? They deny that there will ever be a judgment. Remember what they told Peter. How did Peter write of them? Those scoffers in the last days. And say, oh, everything's gone on. Again, this is Turner paraphrase. We're not looking at that right now. That everything's gone on since the same since the days of the fathers. Nothing's going to change. What we understand is the passage goes on to say that God doesn't work on the same timetable, does He? It says there in that passage that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. And some try to explain that in a lot of different ways. But what I get from that passage is that God's not subject to our timetables. He doesn't work by our calendar. And we are to take heed to His calendar and His warnings to us. Well, that day, the day of the Lord, is anticipated, but it's unknown. And it says here, In verse 3, and of course, that certain sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. You know, I had to ponder that and think about that, consider that. A dear lady carrying a child in her womb knows that there's travail ahead. That travail of the labor of delivery is ahead, and there's really no way for her to escape that. And that wrath and judgment upon this world is is certain. Might not know just exactly when that hour will begin, but it is certain. So too, we that understand the warnings of the Bible realize that the day of the Lord is ahead and it is certain. It is certain. The Son of God will return. You and I look at the return and long for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this whole world is going to come under a wrath and judgment beyond our understanding, beyond what we could even believe. That day will come, as it says here, in violence. Sudden destruction cometh upon them. That word sudden there means to be unaware, unexpected. Quickly, something that's going to take place quickly, but in an unexpected time. The word not in verse 3 is interesting. Notice it says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. It's interesting. You know, again, you all know that I like little words for a little brain. But in this case, it's very interesting because it's a what they call an absolute negative. It means it's something that is absolutely certain. It's interesting. The Holy Spirit of God puts things together exactly the way He wants them. It's an absolute negative, they call it. No, it's the idea of no, never. Absolutely not. If we think about that, they shall absolutely not escape. No, never escape. Now that's a grave thought, isn't it? We've become so attached to this old world. But we realize, we understand from the Bible, this old world's going to pass away. And oh my, you and I that understand that, you and I that walk in the light, walk in the day, that aren't in darkness as we see, should be busy about God's work. Our hearts should break over those that are still lost in that darkness, that we might reach them for Christ. But we also see here the light that the believer lives in. Again, this passage turns in its message here at verse 4 as He gives the warning toward the lost world. We see the message turns indeed. The light that the believer lives in, the light that you and I have, beginning there in verse 4 and down through verse 10 or so. Paul's emphasis shifts from what will happen to those who reject Christ, reject the things of God, to those who know and receive the truth. When you got saved, did you have any clue about these things? I sure didn't. Man, I've told you over and over, all I knew was I was a mess and needed God. And in the longer I go on in this Christian life, 42 years this month, 42 years, month of December, I was saved. And yes, still, I haven't regretted it yet. Amen. When we see the light of the believer in verses 4 and 5, notice the words here. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Verse 5 begins, Ye are all children of light. Now what's Paul referring to? He's telling us that we've been told. We have the light. Hey, this book is God's light. And you and I have the wonderful privilege of being able to walk in the light of God's Word. We have that revelation. We speak of the book of Revelation. We speak of a revelation. Well, what does that bring to mind? When something's revealed to us. It means, remember the old Ford commercial where the Ford had a better idea and the little light bulb came on? And Carter, you wouldn't have any clue about that commercial. But the light, God was pleased to turn the lights on for us somewhere along the way. He pulled back the veil. And beloved, as you and I study and grow in the Word of God and the things of God, it's as if You know, there at the your house, you probably have one of those somewhere in the house, one of those rheostat knobs for a light. And you know, you can turn it way down and where it's off or just barely on. And the farther you turn it, what's it do? It gets brighter and brighter, hopefully. Well, as we grow in the understanding of the message of God's Word, the light should be getting brighter. We're coming into more and more truth, and the lights are coming on. But along with that light getting brighter and brighter, there's also a measure of responsibility and accountability that Paul wants to remind us of. The more God shows us, the more we're accountable for. The light of the believer. We also see then in these verses the call to the believer. In verse 6, therefore, because we're not children of the darkness, because we are walking in the light that God has given to us, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, you and I that are saved, you and I that know Christ, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. Trust God. He's our protection. Believe Him. What's His promise to you and I as believers? Well, I'm getting ahead of my message. He's going to take care of us all the way through, isn't He? He's going to deliver us to glory. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Oh my, there's another whole series of messages, isn't it? What's ours in Jesus? Because we're saved. Because we belong to Him. And we'll look at a little bit more of that in a moment. Beloved, don't listen to those that say, don't worry. Everything's fine. Huh? Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, everything is fine for you if you're saved. If you know the Lord, hey, we should be concerned about this lost and dying world. Should break our heart for those that are perishing. And we should be busy about reaching this world for Christ. But you and I are secure in Christ. He's our hope of salvation. Indeed. We see here several challenges to us. We see that we're to be vigilant. We're to be vigilant in verse 6. It says watch, doesn't it? Let us watch. We need to live in this world with our eyes open. Understand. You and I that have that light, you and I that have that, have the understanding that God's been pleased to impart to us, are to live in that understanding. Be aware. Be aware. You know, brings to mind when Marcia and I visit at her mother's house in a little old town in Ohio by the name of McDonald. And we try to get our morning walk in. And sometimes we'll be talking and so forth, and we're not paying quite attention. And we'll walk through parts of town and it's newer areas. And I mean, we're talking about a small town, but still it's like walking in one of the neighborhoods around here in Fort Worth, and some of the houses and the streets are old, go all the way back into the 30s and 40s. And you know what the sidewalks are like? There are big old trees there, and the roots and stuff have pushed the sidewalk up, and you better be watching. You better keep your eyes open. You better be aware. And sometimes we'll be talking and talking and a walking, and one of us might catch our toe on the edge of one of them pieces of concrete that have heaved up. And I know they're like that. I've walked those. I couldn't tell you how many times we've walked on those streets. And we get in certain parts of town. I should be watching because I know. But if we're not careful, we can sleep. And the idea of the word sleep here is to be unaware. And it's almost the idea of being willfully unaware. Because we're challenged. Paul challenge us? He said, let us serve the day be sober, putting on the, for God hath not appointed, I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 7 says, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, you and I are creatures of the day. We need to be alert, watchful. Well, the believers to be prepared, we read here, which speaks of this soberness, but also it's a day. This is a time for the protection of faith and love. That armor that we've studied on Wednesday nights for so long. I'm thankful for that. Got a God. Hey, we can trust His protection. We can trust His protection. It's a time for the safety of our salvation indeed. But we see also here the provision for the believer. It says here, in verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's again a lot of last days message there. I believe with all my heart as we read the scriptures that God, as we understand, is going to call us out of this present world before He sets that time clock in motion of the tribulation period. That day of the wrath of God as it's poured out. But beloved, I'm thankful that God is going to deliver us from that, save us from that. But we also have to understand that wrath is certain. That wrath is certain. We understand from the Word of God that contrast that is there in those familiar passages in John chapter 3. It says in verse 36 of John 3, it says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. Are you saved? You have the promise of everlasting life, eternal life in Jesus. But, it goes on and says, and he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's a certainty, beloved. Just as certain as you and I will enjoy the blessings of eternal life in Christ, those that are lost in this old world will come under the wrath of God. They will endure the wrath of God. Just one other verse that we might be certain of this. I know you're certain of it. But in verse 18 of Romans chapter 1, now listen to this. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God is a reality. You know, somehow, I don't know. I know here we understand that. We understand that indeed, the judgment and wrath of God will one day be poured out on this earth planet. But I wonder if it really comes and affects our heart. If it affects my heart, I should be doing something about it. Huh? We should be wanting to reach this world for Christ. Because the wrath of God will be poured out on all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Wow. Lord help us. Well, the provision for the believer here. Indeed, we just read, he'll be spared God's wrath. He'll receive God's deliverance in that, saved from that wrath to come. He'll receive God's substitute. Aren't you thankful Jesus died for you? Paul mentions that here. He says again, verse 9, for God hath not appointed us, he's speaking to believers, to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Died in our place. He died in our place. Whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wow. We receive God's substitute. We receive that life in Christ. Now that picture here, the picture of that word sleep here changes. The picture of the word sleep, as we saw it earlier, speaks of a spiritual laziness. Should know better, but we just become complacent. But here that word sleep changes. Whether we wake or sleep, in verse 10, we should live together with Him. The idea is, beloved, whether we've gone on, we've laid this earthly tabernacle aside and have gone on to be present with the Lord or not, if we remain alive when He comes, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. And Paul talked about that earlier, doesn't he? In the fourth chapter, he speaks of that, where we which alive and remain shall join them in the air when the Lord Jesus returns. Yes, indeed. Hallelujah. The way the Holy Spirit puts these words together declares it's a once for all finished deal, beloved. You know Jesus. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. You have eternal life in Him. Wow. Verse 11 challenges us once again. He says, wherefore? Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also you do. What's the last verse of chapter 4 say? After that challenge, after those words of encouragement concerning those that have gone on ahead of us, those that have laid aside this earthly tabernacle, but were saved in Christ, He wants us to what? Comfort one another with these words. And so He echoes that statement here in verse 11 of chapter 5. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also you do. We're here to encourage each other, to build each other up with these truths. That's what we're trying to do right now. That's what we're trying to do right now, to encourage ourselves in the work of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Well, we see also here the exhortation for the day which we live in, right now. The exhortation for the day we live in. We see, as we've just said, we're to exhort and to edify each other, build each other up. We need to recognize, and again, I want to read these verses. In verse 11, it says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also you do. Paul goes on then to challenge those folks at Thessalonica. He says, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And the peace, be at peace among yourselves. Well, we see these challenges. Indeed, we're to encourage each other. And we need to recognize the place of God's man in our midst as well. And I don't like to dwell on that, but it's there. It's part of the passage. And pastors really shouldn't have to preach on that. Pastors shouldn't have to challenge his folks to do right concerning the man of God. No more than it's a sad day when a husband has to remind his wife of what the Bible says about a relationship. Shouldn't be. But also, the pastor, he shouldn't have to remind his folks in those areas either. We should know and follow the direction of the Word of God. We beseech you, brethren. It's the same phrase that we find in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, where Paul's writing to that church, in the church there in Rome, and he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, what? That living sacrifice. When the idea of the word beseech, both there, same exact word. And it's the idea he's begging us in this matter. He's challenging us in these matters. Because of that, then, he has this that he wants to leave with us. And again, I'm trying to work through these. As we minister, therefore, then, in these verses 14 and 15, we need to minister to each other. There's a mutual ministry. And we read in verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, you that know Christ. We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Wow. Very important challenge to us there. tells us how we're to live. And Paul's trying to help us to understand how we should live in this world that God's left us in. He exhorts us again. We have a ministry to each other. Again, there's even within the body of Christ, folks aren't living right for the Lord. We should warn them and challenge them. Is it right, brother? You need to change this, sister. You need to do right for yourselves and for the honor of God. Comfort the feeble-minded. Oh, my. There's always going to be those that need to be encouraged along. They struggle. Comfort the weak-minded, the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient towards all men. Notice he says all men. And as we see that, as he goes on from there in verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. And then, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves or within the church, and to all men. What Paul deals with in these last points is part of our testimony to the lost world in which we live. How we should treat all men, saved or lost. It's hard to be patient sometimes, isn't it? Oh my, it's hard to be patient sometimes. You know, sometimes I like to give folks a little bit of instruction with Mr. 2x4. But then I remember how many times I needed that instruction with Mr. 2x4. Helps me to be a little more patient when I be mindful how patient God is with me. Be patient to all men. See that none render evil for evil. What's that mean? Someone does you wrong, don't do wrong back to them. Don't visit evil upon evil. What are we to do in that case? What are we to do when somebody does us wrong? We need to protect the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? That's tough. You know, my tendency is when somebody does me wrong, I want to give it right back to them. Double. I mean, that's just my flesh. And if you're saying different, you're lying. It's just the way we are. It's that fallen nature in us. You know how I always use the illustration of my driving, and Jeffrey's not here tonight to laugh at me. But, somebody cuts me off in traffic. Road rage builds. I won't go on anymore. We need to be careful not to render evil for evil. And these other things speak for themselves. Ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and all men. Might it be a testimony? Might it be a testimony, whether it's in the church house, down where you work, where you're in school, you're amongst your friends, amongst the family. We'll be with family over these next weeks. Many of them might be lost. Might they have a testimony that God's done a work of good in you because of the goodness that you display? Might Lord make it so. Well, to minister to ourselves as well. These last verses, we'll try to finish this up. I love this little passage here. It's so precious. Beginning in verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Here's one we kind of struggle with at times. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Wow. Well, just very quickly. They speak for themselves, really, don't they? We need to always rejoice. We need to be in a spirit of prayer. How often? What's it say? Pray with what? Without ceasing. Always giving thanks. Lord, help us. Come right out of Thanksgiving season. We ought to have that fresh on our hearts. Never quench the Spirit. The idea is to extinguish the Spirit. We speak of the fire of the Spirit of God. I sure don't want to quench it. I need it, don't you? I need God. We don't want to do anything that would hinder the work of God in our personal lives, but certainly as well in our church. We must not despise the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God. Verse 20. Despise not prophesying, the preaching, the declaration of the Word of God. And then on the heels of that, it says to prove all things. Prove all things. That's good. Just because, hey, it amazes me. Somebody will come along and they'll tell me about what they heard on the internet. What some preacher wrote or said on the internet. It's got to be true if it's on the internet, right? Oh my. I'm thinking, please test things. And what do we test it with? Right here, that light. You know, the more you saturate yourself with the light, the quicker the red flags will pop up when you hear something that doesn't ring true with the Word of God. Test all things. And then stay even away from the appearance of evil. Avoid even the appearance of evil. How many times have someone said to you, well, it's nobody's business but mine. A professing Christian say something like that. It's nobody's business but mine. Well, it might not be my business, but that doesn't change the fact that God has ordained, He's commanded us to lay aside anything in our lives that would even appear, give the appearance of evil. That's why we're so careful about those things, huh? We try to be careful about these things. Well, conclusion. Every one of these exhortations in this passage, it's interesting that they're in the present tense. What's that mean? That they are to be an ongoing experience in our life. A continuing, ongoing experience. Again, we can see this. We need to always continue to rejoice. Continue to pray without ceasing. Continue to give thanks in everything and on through this passage. It's to be the ongoing reality of our walk with Christ. This would be good to post somewhere in our daily experience that we see all the time. For me, it'd be the refrigerator door. I spent a lot of time in front of that refrigerator door, and it'd be a good thing to remind us. What's Paul essentially or fundamentally, maybe is a better word, challenging us to do? We could say it this way, just manifest Christ. He's challenging us to be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. Well, needless to say, as we go through this passage, we got plenty to occupy our lives with. Plenty to be busy with till Jesus comes. Again, those first few verses challenge us to be aware, to be understanding of the day of the Lord. Even an uncertain, I would say, beloved, the more uncertain the days become, the more we should be vigilant and watchful. The more we should be anticipating and expecting that trump's going to sound. The trump will indeed sound. Paul opens the passage declaring that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. It will certainly come. Are we ready? If you're saved, God has made you ready. But spiritually, and I'm saying this, I'm trying to choose the right words. Actively, maybe, is a better word. Are we living in this experience? Because as the truths of the closing of this chapter are the outworking of that expectation, that anticipation of the Lord's. The more you and I are convinced that Jesus is coming soon, the more we're going to want to live for Him and live like Him. Huh? To live like Him. Well, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to warn you that CNN or NBC or Fox News isn't going to have a news alert, Jesus is coming tonight. The warning's not going to be there, is it? Be prepared. When's the day of salvation? Today. Right now is the time of salvation. It's not to be put off. It's not something to take care of tomorrow. It's always the time of salvation, right now. We understand. We understand what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It says, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Again, the certainty, isn't it? It is appointed unto men once to die. It is certain. And it is certain that there will be a judgment. The judgment rests on what? Our relationship to Jesus Christ. If we know Him, we have everlasting life and the blessings of heaven. If we don't know Him, we come under the wrath and the judgment of God. Lord, help us. We just mentioned this truth from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Paul writes there and he says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now's the right time. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today. This is the moment. If you're here tonight without Christ, right now is the right time to put your faith, your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Deliverer. Father, we bow before you tonight. Please stand. We bow before you tonight, Father, and we look to you. We're thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful that even in uncertain times, we can have this more sure Word from you. And I pray that you'd help us to understand that the day of the Lord is appointed. It's in your timing, Father. We don't know when that will be, but we realize as the darkness seems to be closing in and thicker and darker all the time around us, that we need not walk in the darkness, but in the light of your Word, the light of your presence, the light of the Spirit's direction. And so, Father, I pray that we indeed would have that certainty, a certainty of your peace and your assurance, your confidence. But Lord, I'm praying that you'd start right behind this pulpit and helping me help every one of us to live in light of what we've seen in this passage tonight. Pray, Father. I make just the simple prayer. Help me. Help us all to be like Jesus. To love as He loved. To care as He cared. To seek to make the impact in hearts and lives that He made. We love you, Lord. Thank you tonight for your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother John.
Page 167.
Amen. Trust the Lord speak to us tonight. Let the Word of God settle in. And again, if you have a need, we're here for you. You come, we'll do our best to help you. Amen. Let's sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou biddest me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
Amen. I love that old song. Such a beautiful message. I'm so thankful. Regardless of the state we're in, regardless of the confusion, the chaos, the struggles of life, the invitation from our Savior, come. Come to Him. Amen. Well, it's been good. Please be in prayer. Brother Arnold has a test in the morning, and then he's going to have a procedure done on Wednesday. So please pray for him. There's others. Please continue to pray for Brother Harry's mother, Pat Shepherd, Patricia Shepherd, his text to me was a couple days ago that she's declining rapidly. Breaks our heart. 68 years old, and pancreatic cancer is just taking her down. So please pray for her, the family. Jennifer stayed behind here while he returned to Idaho to try to be a... I appreciate that. A daughter-in-law being willing to do that. And I appreciate Jennifer. Her mother was here this morning with her and was taking the children back to Amarillo this afternoon. So I pray for them as well. Well, it's been good. Always good to see you folks. I appreciate you, every one of you. Trust that we pray for each other this coming week. Amen. Let John come.
Let's be dismissed with our chorus, Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
You're dismissed.